Well, once again, this is Jim Rao coming to you from Kenya, and it's a beautiful sunny day today. Worked out on the Shamba this morning, and we've had rain just about every day for the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and so the ground is saturated, but the crops are growing very well. Today, we are going to be talking about standing in the gap, and this is a prayer concept. It is a concept from the Old Testament, but it's very applicable for our lives today, and it's very applicable for our situation here in America and also in Kenya, and I'm sure just about every nation around the world. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of confusion. The events of the end times are spiraling to a conclusion, and the return of Jesus will be imminent. It is already imminent, and it will be coming in due time. And so we see events unfolding in our countries that are somewhat frightening. And I have spoken about this, the prophetic vision that I have for America, the prophetic word that I have for America. If you did not hear my messages a few weeks ago on prophetic alert, go to the website, gathertheoutcast.com. That's gathertheoutcast.com, and listen to those prophetic alerts. Beloved, the seeds of civil war and great calamity are being planted in America now. You can hear it, you can see it, you can read it on the daily news, you can hear it in the rhetoric of people here in America, especially those who are preaching and advocating overthrow of the government, overthrow of our quote-unquote imperialist system, and many other things that are causing turmoil and chaos are coming and boiling to the top, and this is going to boil over, I believe, in the next election. And so we have an opportunity, we have an obligation, and we have a privilege to come before the Lord and stand in the gap for this nation, stand in the gap for our families. This isn't just about salvation, even though salvation is the number one charge for Christians, is to share the good news of the gospel and to bring others to a place of salvation, that others can know Jesus, that others can have their sins forgiven. That is the number one charge. That is the number one commission for every single Christian. And beyond that, we are to take the gospel then to the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that I have commanded you, said Jesus, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. And so we have a commission, we have a charge, we have a command, but also we have a charge to stand in the gap and pray for our nation, pray for our nation's leaders, pray for our community leaders, pray for our families, our children. And so this requires sacrifice, beloved. This is not milquetoast, vanilla Christianity. This is not Sunday-only Christianity. This is not show up for church and then hang up your church clothes and don't get engaged the rest of the week. That is not what I'm talking about. That is not Christianity in the sense that I'm speaking of. I'm speaking of contending for the kingdom of God, contending for righteousness in the kingdom, by the kingdom. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we want to bring the kingdom of God to this earth. We want to bring the kingdom of God to our families, to our communities, to our state, and to our nation, and to the whole world. And that is your charge. That is my charge as a believer, as a Christian. It is a charge where we will be taking the kingdom of the devil by violence, because the violent take the kingdom by force, Jesus said. The violent take the kingdom by force. And so we're not going to do it with machetes. We're not going to do it with knives and AK-47s. We're going to do it through prayer and through fellowship, through reading God's word, through fasting, and through engaging the weapons of warfare that we have in our battle against the enemy. Well, Ezekiel was preaching and he was prophesying to the people of the land, the people of Israel, and there was great turmoil, there was great chaos in the land at the same time that he was preaching to them, and some of the people had already been taken into captivity, and so he was speaking to them over in the land of captivity. And it says in Ezekiel 22, verse 29, the people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppress the stranger. So I sought for a man. This is Ezekiel speaking for the Lord here. I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Well, let me stop right there and see if we can draw any similarities between what Ezekiel was seeing in his day and what we see in our day. God says to the people of the land through Ezekiel that they have used oppressions, they have committed robbery and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppress the stranger. Well, that sounds a lot like Kenya to me. What I see every day here is there's so much corruption in this nation. There's so much corruption that I've seen in Africa. It is just about impossible for the poor to climb out of poverty. It is just about impossible for the poor to appreciate and enjoy their life because they can't even think about tomorrow because they're too busy fighting for today. And so that is a picture of us here in Africa. The poor are mistreated and they are oppressed. People are stealing from each other everywhere, starting at the top level of government and going down to every level of government. People are stealing from each other. Government officials get in position, get in a place of authority, get in a place where they have some office that they are holding, and they just use that office to steal. They use that office to rob. They use that office to oppress and to keep people down so that they can continue to go higher and higher and steal more money from the people. And so that is the picture that I see in Africa. I know America is a bit different. We don't have so much material poverty there, so much material lack and material want. People are well fed and well clothed. They have, for the most part, good housing. But in America, we have oppression of certain groups of people. We certainly have the poor and the needy who need opportunity. They need jobs. They need health care. And so we have, in a way, the same situation in America. But in America, we have more material blessing, which puts responsibility upon us to share our blessing with people around the world who don't have that same type of material blessing. And so God has put great expectations on us in America. Those that have been blessed, He puts great responsibility and expectation on them to share their blessing and share the wealth that they have with people all over the world who do not have that wealth. Well, verse 30 again, God says, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall. That is, protect the family. The wall is for protection. Sought for a man who would put a wall around his family, who would pray for his family, who would lead his family down paths of righteousness, who would lead his family into church every Sunday, who would lead his family into devotions, and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, who would stand in the gap. Beloved, we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our president, no matter what you think of Donald Trump. We need to pray for him, no matter what I think of President Uhuru Kenyatta. I need to pray for him. In a lot of ways, Kenyatta and Trump are very similar. They both came from very wealthy upbringings, and they were not necessarily probably the most politically correct people in their class or politically correct people from their status or their village. But God has somehow raised these men up to become the leaders, the presidents of their country. And so we need to pray for Uhuru Kenyatta. He is working very hard to tear down the stronghold, the principality of corruption here in Kenya. He's working very hard to see that people here have a fair shake in life, to see that the people have an honest opportunity to get a job and to succeed in life. And so we also need to pray for Donald Trump, because he was the one of 16 candidates, if you remember, back in 2016. He had no political experience. He had never run for office, never been elected to any office. And yet Donald Trump became president of the United States in an election that was very close, very contentious, and yet the people of this country spoke through the system that we have, the Electoral College system. The people of this country spoke that this is a man that they wanted to be their president. And so we need to pray for him, uphold him, build a wall around him, build a wall around this nation, because we have many enemies within and without who would love to tear this nation down, tear it apart, and see civil war and strife and martial law and chaos come into this nation so that they can benefit from the chaos and the confusion. And beloved, let me tell you, that is not God's will. It is God's will that the United States of America continue to be blessed, continue to be a missionary sending nation, continue to be a nation that is standing for the Word of God and propagates the kingdom all over the world and upholds the Word of God within this nation. Well, verse 31, therefore, God says, I have poured out my indignation, my wrath, and my anger on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds upon their own heads, says the Lord. Well, this word was spoken to the children of Israel when they started to burn their own children in the fire, when they started to pass their own children through the fire and sacrifice them to the pagan gods of Baal and the Asherah. God says, then I had to do something. I had to pour out my wrath and my indignation upon them and consume them with the fire of my wrath. And God had been warning the children of Israel. He had been warning the nation of Israel and the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. He had been warning them through the prophets that they needed to get right with the Lord, that they needed to bow their knee to the Lord, that they needed to listen to the prophets, because through the prophets comes prosperity, through the prophets comes safety, through the prophets comes direction and guidance. The prophet drops the plumb bob and he brings correction to the nation. The prophet drops the plumb bob and he brings correction to the church, to the leaders of the church, and to the members of the church. And so God had been warning Israel and Judah, and yet they did not heed his warning. And so God eventually let the enemies come in and take them off in captivity to first Assyria and then to Babylon, and the whole nation of Israel and the tribes of Judah and Benjamin in their home, in their place of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel, the promised land, they were dealt with severely and harshly, and they were dealt with in a way that it was unmistakable. This was the hand of God that had dealt with them. They were taken over to captivity for 70 years. And if you think this cannot happen to the United States of America, I urge you to read the book of Jeremiah. I urge you to read the book of Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel, and some of the other prophetic books in the Old Testament. I urge you to read them, Lamentations, and get down on your knees and ask the Lord, Lord, can this happen in America? And you will get the answer, yes, the fire of God, God's indignation, God's wrath and his anger can come down on America, and we will be given over into the hands of our enemies, the Chinese, the Koreans, the Russians, whoever it is. Maybe it's the strongholds and principalities of drug use and the strongholds and principalities of civil war within. But I tell you, beloved, we need to stand in the gap for this nation. We need to stand and we need to cry out to the Lord for the blessings to continue upon the United States of America. Well, there's some great examples in the Old Testament where people stood in the gap for their nations, and I'm going to pick out a couple here. The first one comes from the book of Daniel, and Daniel was in the Old Testament. He was in captivity with the nation of Israel. He was over there in captivity, and God elevated him in amazing ways to stand beside the kings of the nation where he was. He became second in command for some time, and so he was very influential, even though he was in captivity, even though he was in a foreign land. He was very influential in maintaining the Jewish people, the children of God. He was very influential in maintaining them and seeing that they thrived and seeing that they prospered and that they were taken care of in the land that they were in. Well, in the 9th chapter of Daniel, and I would recommend that you read both the 9th and 10th chapter of Daniel. They're very powerful chapters. Daniel is fasting, he's praying, he's crying out to the Lord, he's asking God for wisdom. But in the 9th chapter, I'm just going to read some select verses here so that you understand what it means to stand in the gap for the United States of America. Daniel 9:3, I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Well, beloved, in the Old Testament days, and even here in Kenya, people used to pray and fast in sackcloth and ashes. People used to put on sackcloth, even as much as 20 or 30 years ago, people would put on sackcloth and cover themselves with dust and ashes as a sign that they were mourning, that they were wailing, that they were travailing and crying out to the Lord for something different to happen, for a change to come, and also for the fact that they were repenting and they wanted the Lord to see that their heart needed cleansing, that they were crying out in repentance. They were asking the Lord to wash their sin and wash their shame. And so this is what Daniel is doing. He's praying and supplicating, which is a plea for mercy. Supplication is saying, Lord, I don't deserve the blessings that you have for me. I don't deserve the blessings that you have for this nation, but I'm crying out to you. I'm praying and I'm asking in supplication, which is a plea for mercy. Would you forgive us of our sin and continue to bless us, even though we don't deserve it? Well, in verse 4, Daniel says, I prayed to the Lord my God, and I made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy and those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned. And by saying we have sinned, Daniel is taking responsibility for the sins of his forefathers. And beloved, we need to do that here in America. When I look back to 1973, I was in America. I was not conscious of what was going on with the Supreme Court. I was not conscious of the decisions that were being handed down. I was not even conscious of the important issues of the day. And the Supreme Court of the United States declared that we should have free and legal and easy access to abortion. And the consequences of that since 1973 have been 60 million babies approximately have been aborted and murdered in the womb. And the shed blood of the innocents now cries out from the land. The shed blood of the innocents has saturated the soil, the land of America. The ashes of the burnt blood of the innocents has saturated the landfills of America. And so we have to take responsibility for the sins and the iniquity of our forefathers, because many of them died. They didn't even know that they had sin and they had blood on their hands. Many of them died without understanding that they had to take responsibility for the decisions made in their life. And so Daniel says, we have sinned and we have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Verse 6, neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to your kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. Well, beloved, you might say, well, when did the prophets speak to us here in America? When did we have any prophets? Well, beloved, every time a pastor gets in the pulpit, he is prophesying the word over you. Every time you pick up your Bible and you read the Old Testament prophet, they are prophesying over you, because we have the very same issues in our life. We have the very same issues in 2019 going into 2020 that they had in 700 BC. Nothing has really changed. The heart of man is still the same. The heart of man is still deceitfully wicked, just as Jeremiah said. And so we have the same issues of murder and hate and idolatry and wickedness and abortion and homosexual life and all of these issues in America that are full of wickedness and departing from the Word of God, we have those same issues, sexual perversion and robbing and stealing. We have those same issues here in Kenya. And so nothing has really changed. The only thing that has changed is we are a few days closer to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are a few days closer to the end of this life that we have here on this earth. Well, in verse 7, Daniel says, O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face. In other words, we are shamed in our face, and we are full of shame, and we are full of disgrace to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Well, beloved, that's what we need to do. Get down on our knees, take responsibility for the sins of the forefathers. Verse 16, I'm going to jump over 9:16. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those who are around us. And beloved, I can tell you, when people talk about the USA from here in Africa, it is usually they talk with a mocking and a deriding tone of voice. They mock the USA because they see so much chaos going on there, the school shootings and the mass shootings and all the perversion, the sexual perversion and the chaos that they see emanating from that. And so there is not much respect anymore for the USA in other countries around the world. Well, verse 17, now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. He's talking about Jerusalem there. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Well, beloved, I don't have time to keep going here in Daniel, but I pray that you would do this, stand in the gap for America. Beloved, when Daniel prayed this prayer many, many years ago, and he cried out on behalf of the nation of Israel, he cried out on behalf of his forefathers. God then, in this very same chapter, God then sent Gabriel, the angel that stands beside the Lord. God sent Gabriel to Daniel to speak to him and to give him revelation. And in that very same chapter, Daniel chapter 9, God gives Daniel revelation of the end time of the crucifixion of Jesus, the actual timing down to the day of the crucifixion of Jesus, and the return of the children of Israel back to Jerusalem. And so God blessed Daniel with great revelation. And when you come before the Lord and you cry out for your nation, for your family, for your city, when you come before the Lord and you get clean before him, create in me a clean heart, David cried out, and renew in me a right spirit. When we do that, and we desire to be cleansed by the Lord, and we desire to stand before the Lord in righteousness and take responsibility and confess our wickedness, then God will give you revelation, he will give you blessing, and he will exalt you. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Well, beloved, this idea of standing in the gap is of critical importance now, and I pray that you take it seriously. I pray that you do this. We are in a place in America where we need Christians, people who are called by my name, to humble themselves and seek the face of the Lord, turn from their wicked ways, and Beloved, God will hear their prayer from heaven. He will forgive their sin, and He will heal our land. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I thank you for listening. We invite you to support this ministry, to pray for us. We invite you to support this ministry with your financial contributions, not only so we can keep the radio broadcast coming, but also for the great projects we have going in Africa. Just this coming month in December, we're going to be doing a big crusade here in Mumias Town, and we have two very famous singers coming from Nairobi. They're going to be coming out here to bless this crusade with their music, with their worship, and so we're looking for a big harvest here in Mumias, and I pray that you would come alongside, stand with us, stand in the gap with us for Mumias and for the nation of Kenya, and you will be blessed. You will receive the blessing as we go forth to carry the good news of the gospel in Africa. Well, stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.